The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome in. It's the Numbers Game presented by BetMGM here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Last hour till we get to the weekend. Good hour on tap as well. Adam Burke's going to join us moments from now. Pick his brain on what he wrote for the College Football Betting Guide. We also have the Sklar Brothers who are going to join us in 15. Them, of course, as you know, Cheap Seats was the former show up on ESPN. They got a new endeavor. It's going to come up on UFC Fight Pass that we'll discuss. And I am told they could talk college football forever. So I'm going to pick their brain on a little bit of college football as we get closer to the season. We are less than 30 days, depending on the team, away from the college football season. So that'd be great. Also, less than a week away from the Hall of Fame game. And Vinny Maiulo will join us as he does every single Friday on a numbers game. I had to think about what the day was as we head off into the weekend. But let's bring in Adam Burke, who is fresh off of vacation. And I did see on Twitter, Adam, that you were talking about what late night thunderstorms in Cleveland. Is this a thing? Because you got one last night.
Yeah, I missed late night thunderstorms quite a bit, and I got a really good one back home in Cleveland. And then apparently I brought them with me because we've had a couple of light shows here the last couple of nights with monsoon season in the valley.
So first off, I have small children, and specifically my near 4-year-old. When it like booms, he's terrified. He doesn't understand the concept of lightning and thunder. But the other is, you know, if you're a Las Vegan, if you follow a bunch of Las Vegans, because they act like they've never seen rain, my Instagram and Twitter feeds are all just a bunch of people with mouths agape going, "There's water falling from the sky. It's incredible."
Yeah, exactly. My favorite thing is to look and see if the Link parking garage is flooded. So that definitely happened last night, obviously, along with the Circus Sportsbook flooding. So interesting night, to say the least. But I'm kind of enjoying monsoon season. It's a nice break from, you know, sunny and 110 every day.
Yes. Now it's just gloomy and 98 and humid. So it's absolutely a step in the right direction. All right. So step in the right direction would be anybody watching this going to buy the College Football Betting Guide. That's a segue. Adam had a big hand in terms of writing the College Football Betting Guide outside of specific conference. Let's talk about a couple of things you wrote about, Adam, specifically. So I was asked this question last night when I did a hit, when it comes to making your own power ratings in college football and the priority that you put on whether it's returning starters, the position strength, things of that nature. So can you give us like a little bit of a boilerplate example of what we're talking about here from power ratings and what you wrote in the guide that people can use for this season?
Yeah. So look, the one thing I think is really important to keep in mind is that power ratings are an inexact science. No ones are going to be perfect. Everyone's going to have differences of opinion with how they rate and evaluate teams. The goal here is just to kind of come up with a number that's pretty close to the market where you're not that far off. You can take some positions on teams that you like more than others. But what I do, I wait for the preseason guides to come out, and then I start looking at the personnel for those teams and I grade them on a scale of 1 to 10 for 4 position groups, 1 to 15 for 3 position groups, and then coaching and special teams to get a scale of 100. So basically, you think about a team like Alabama, for example, they're a 98.5 out of 100 for me. Ohio State, 97.5. Georgia, 95.5. And as I grade these position groups, I do it sort of based on conference strength, but also national strength. So if CJ Stroud is a 15 at quarterback, you know, maybe McNamara or somebody kind of further down the board is a 13. You know, Talia Tagovailoa, for example, is a 13 for me. So I just kind of grade these position groups almost according to strength in the conference and national strength to come up with an overall number for the team. And that's my raw power rating number for that team. Then I apply home field advantage to the mix, and I can create my own numbers for these games. I can create my own spreads and then look for the market to hopefully move towards my number. Or if it moves away from my number, I can make adjustments accordingly. But it gives me the chance to bet games early in the week because I have an idea of where my line is relative to the market number, and I can take some positions that way.
When the games get started, what's your process like when it comes to adjusting the power ratings? How quick on the trigger are you to adjust? Because these are still relatively small sample sizes, right? These teams are playing 12, 13, 14 games, depending how deep they get and if they're going to a bowl game. So how often and how quickly will you adjust power ratings once games begin?
Yeah, I mean, look, if it's a team that I want to take a position on, I'll be a little bit slower to adjust them. But, you know, you also have to understand that if your spread is off from the market spread by a pretty consistent margin, then you're probably wrong. The betting market will be more efficient than you are going to be. So what I do, it's kind of a three-step process for me. The first thing I do is compare my line to what the closing line was in the market. So if my line was -7 and the line closed -7, I feel like I've got a good power rating on those two teams. If my line was -11.5 and the closing line was -7, I may adjust both teams 2 points. I may adjust one team 1 point and one team 2 points. That's also part of the inexact science of this process. But I compare my number to the market close. That's the first step. I also go through and do box score study. Was there something in that game that caused it not to play to the expectation? Was one team -4 in turnover margin? Well, that's kind of a fluky thing. That probably had, you know, a significant impact on the game, but maybe it would have played out closer to expectation otherwise. So maybe I won't adjust that team all that much. And the third thing is, of course, to try to find injury information, which can be very difficult in college football, but you have to try to be on top of those things because, you know, the drop off from a 4-year senior starter at quarterback to a redshirt freshman is going to be pretty significant. And you want to make sure you can account for that the next week.
All right, let's talk about some of the conferences that you wrote up, specifically the big one, the Big 12. Oklahoma, of course, the brand, the name, the recognizable logo at the top of the conference and the favorite at the DraftKings to win it. So I'll start it out by asking you this. Is Oklahoma, I guess I want to start the rightful favorite, so I'll phrase it like this. Is Oklahoma and the gap between them and the next team in the conference big? Is it? I think when I evaluated the Big 12, Adam, I thought a lot of these teams have come like bunched together. I think there's going to be a lot of parity in this league. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I have Oklahoma power rated as an 85. That's 3.5 points higher than Texas, who's second for me. Oklahoma State is third at 81. Baylor is fourth at 80. So there's not really a big gap between the top teams in this conference. And there's not really a big gap between the middle tier teams in this conference either. Teams like Kansas State, Iowa State, TCU. But as far as Oklahoma goes, I still think this is a really, really good football team. I think Dylan Gabriel is a great fit for Jeff Lebby's offense. He was the offensive coordinator at Ole Miss. So, you know, we know that they're kind of an explosive big play offense. We know that they like having a mobile quarterback like they did with Matt Corral. Dylan Gabriel can be those things for them. A career 70-14 touchdown interception ratio at UCF. So I think this offense is going to be just fine. And the defense could get even better because anytime you bring in a guy like Brent Venables, who was Clemson's defensive coordinator, that's a unit that has a chance to get much, much better. And look, Oklahoma was good against the run last year. They only allowed 3.8 yards per carry, but it was on the passing side that they weren't so good. 262 passing yards per game, completion percentage almost 66%. We know that one of the hallmarks of the Clemson defense was that back seven and all the talent that they've been able to get and utilize back there. I think Oklahoma, as crazy as this sounds, they may be better, actually, this season than they were last year under Lincoln Riley. We'll see what happens on the defensive line. They lost three guys to the NFL draft there. But I think Oklahoma will be really good, and I think we cannot overlook the fact that Bob Stoops really kept this program together for the Alamo Bowl when Lincoln Riley left. And I think that kind of improved the culture immediately. Then they make a good hire like Venables. I like their coordinators. I have Oklahoma projected for 9.63 wins. Their win total is 9.5, so it's a slight overlean for me. But at worst case scenario, it feels like 10-2 if they lose to both Texas and Baylor.
Speaking of Texas, Quinn Ewers, you would assume is going to be the guy. You never want to assume when it comes to quarterbacks, but he is the name that transfers in from Ohio State. Is Texas back?
It's a question that everybody asks every single year, yes. Right? Is Texas back? And look, I mean, I think there's a chance this team could be really good. I mean, Xavier Worthy was outstanding at wide receiver as a true freshman last year, 62 catches, almost 1,000 yards, 12 touchdowns. Him and Ewers should grow up together in this offense, and I think that's something that could really benefit this team. But it's the defense. Yep. You know, I mean, this offense could be really good with Bijan Robinson and Steve Sarkisian, who's a great offensive mind. But and they gave up 57 points to Kansas last year. They gave up over 6 yards per play to Big 12 opponents. They were 102nd in the nation in yards per play allowed overall. The only thing that saved them was that they were in the top 50 in touchdown percentage in the red zone on defense. So this is a very bad defense with a defense that has not really recruited as well as some of the other position groups. I mean, look, Texas did not have a player taken in the 2022 NFL draft, which is just mind-blowing for those of us who grew up with really good Texas teams. So, look, I think Texas could be good. I think there's a ton of talent here. But my projection for this team is about 8.2 wins. Their season win total is 8. I'd lean slightly towards the under because of the inexperience at quarterback. But if all this talent comes together under Sark, this may be one of those teams that overperforms relative to expectation.
All right, so one of the teams that I'm really fascinated by in this conference is what Sonny Dykes has over at TCU. We have 17 guys coming back overall. 9 of them come back on the offensive side. Win total is 6.5, pretty shaded to the over at -140. Am I going down the right path here when I look at TCU and they're a team that I kind of think that I want to bet over their win total and a team that I think could actually have, they're a really solid team, I think, to back once Big 12 play begins. Am I correct in thinking this?
Yeah, you know, TCU is fascinating. I think they're a very high variance team here. I do have them power rated as the fourth lowest team in the Big 12. But again, a lot of these teams are kind of grouped together here in that middle tier. I'll also say that the Horned Frogs only play three games outside of the state of Texas all season long. They play Colorado, Kansas, and West Virginia. So, you know, those are two very winnable road games against Colorado and Kansas. And then West Virginia is a tough trip to Morgantown. But look, I think, you know, Sonny Dykes has a lot to work with here. I like the defensive coordinator hire of Joe Gillespie, who was at Tulsa, because Dykes had trouble with Tulsa when he was at SMU. So he went and hired this guy. You know, if you can't beat him, join him type thing. He's been a semifinalist for the Broyles Award for the best defensive coordinator. I think this TCU team, of all the teams in the Big 12 that could really surprise, I think TCU is the one. The schedule is relatively kind. You know, they needed to go in a different direction from Gary Patterson. As you mentioned, there's still a lot of talent here on this team. I think they're fascinating to watch. And I also think Texas Tech with a new coaching staff probably won't be as good as TCU, but I think they're a really intriguing team to watch as well.
Skating Tripods is the Twitter handle. The Run Line is the show on Sundays. He also wrote a bunch for our college football betting guide, including the first of 19 best bets you're going to see here from him, Humans, Steve Mackin, and Wes Reynolds. Over 8.5 for the Air Force Falcons, which I completely and wholeheartedly agree with. Adam, we're up against it, but thanks for the time, man, and good job.
Absolutely. Good job with the numbers game this week, JVT.
I appreciate it. I've only been on for a day, and well, now I've only got 45 minutes left, so it's all going to go to hell because he said I did a good job. All right, on the other side, we've got a lot to get to here. Very excited for our next guest, who had a pretty we'll call it a cult classic show on ESPN. The Sklar Brothers, Randy and Jason, are going to join us next. College Football Guide out now. Start your football season on the right foot with expert profiles of all 131 teams, including team trends, power ratings, and over-under recommendations. Plus, our best season win total bets, Heisman hopefuls, and playoff predictions. The only way to get access to this year's football betting guide is to become a VSiN All Access subscriber. Sign up for VSiN All Access today. Get everything we offer for the entire football season, including our upcoming pro football betting guide. Subscribe now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Yeah, I get a hand in the NFL guide. Can't wait. Last year, if I remember correctly, I wrote the AFC East. I want to say the NFC North. Yeah, I think that sounds about right. So I'll have a hand in the Pro Football Guide, which will be coming out shortly as well as we get closer and closer to the NFL season. By the way, Hall of Fame game coming up in less than a week, too. Jacked for that. 1.5-point spread. Raiders favorite over the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is going to be a hell of a game, I guess, for the Pro Football Hall of Fame game. All right, so with UFC 277 around the corner, how about this? Randy and Johnson, wow, great start. Randy and Jason Sklar have a new show on UFC Fight Pass that might resemble something you may have seen before. So with that, let's take a look.
Fight, 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 fight! We're coming to you from three floors below the octagon with a show that's going to take a new look at some of the most insane moments in UFC history. This is probably going to ramp up slowly over time. And oh my God! This guy looks like if the local news had a magician on staff. Butterbean answering the age-old question, what if a thumb was a person? Yoga the Gathering? No, they're yoga trading cards. Trade my mint condition Bikram Rookie for your hot yoga future stars. Somebody! Most fun human centipede ever.
Are these guys twins?
No, they just dress like them. Weird, lame, right?
Come on.
Yeah, enjoy, guys.
At UF Cuts, get ready to make a complete transformation.
I asked for the Cheeto Vera. And I love it.
Did somebody call tech support?
No.
And you can take that to the bank.
It's the Nosebleeds. Submit to the comedy.
Yep, submit to the comedy. We will hear because Randy and Jason are nice enough to give us a couple of minutes today. Talk about the show and a little college football. Guys, we appreciate the time, man. Got to open up with this. I would assume you're very excited for this. How did this come together? Because when you go back and watch some of those cheap seats shows, especially the Spelling Bee ones, by the way, some of my favorites, they were absolutely tremendous.
Thanks, man. Well, it's the show. We've done a lot of shows in our
first of all, thank you for having us on this show. We're so happy to be here. And we've done a lot of shows since we did Cheap Seats. You know, we were making episodes in the early 2000s, and they sort of ran them till about 2010. But through our Twitter feed and our social media, that's the show that everyone came back to. When are you making more? When are you making more? And then this opportunity came up. Crawley Sullivan, who was our executive in charge of Cheap Seats over at ESPN Classic, he moved over to the UFC a few years ago, and then he called us up this past summer and said, he was like, would you guys be interested in, and we were like, yes, we'll do it. Absolutely. I mean, he was that type of an executive. He's so great with the creative aspect of it and allowing us to run and do.
He's like, I think Cheap Seats could work with UFC because UFC is at a point now where it's so big that they can have a sense of humor about themselves. They can dig back into the archives. Our first episode, which drops tomorrow
on UFC's YouTube page. So it's free for everyone. You can see what the episode is. First of all, every episode is under 20 minutes, which is awesome. They're fast. They're tight. And
tomorrow's UFC 1. We go into UFC 1 back when there were no weight classes, back when you had a sumo wrestler get his tooth kicked out by a Savate dude. Like back at the early days when UFC was still trying to figure it out, when Jim Brown was the announcer for some reason.
We're like, Jim Brown, you've never fought MMA and you're retired from football. What's your opinion here?
Our joke was, how'd they get Jim Brown? What was O.J. Simpson booked?
Well, he was in the process of being booked. It was the mid-90s. Anyway, you get it. The point is, lots of comedy, jokes, and we just realized it totally works. You know, we know where the UFC is. UFC 277 is tomorrow night. It's going to be an incredible card. What they do now is just unbelievable. So
they make the fights that boxing won't make. They make the fights you want to see. And so for us to jump into that jet stream and do what we do and have them let us do what we do, we're so excited.
So psyched.
So I would ask first, is the premise here, is there anybody like Ron Parker who was knocked out of commission? Was there somebody else who was supposed to do this, but you guys got the gig?
See, this is why I love you, man. That's a deep cut. Ron Parker was played by the great Michael Showalter, who, by the way, has gone on to direct like incredible things like Oscar movies and whatnot. And so the Ron Parker situation, there is not. I mean, we're just guys who we're this whole thing takes place three floors fictitiously below the octagon. And it's just anything can happen. And we have great cameos throughout the whole, as you saw in there, Andy Richter plays tech support. You know, Conan's show went down and he's now UFC tech support. So he comes down and has a great runner throughout.
John Hamm
plays a
personal injury lawyer who's trying to rep fighters. Have you ever been rear naked choked while on the job? You could be entitled to damages.
Great. So fun.
I love it. Well, and one of the things that I would be terrified to do is these are all extreme athletes who could, I think, kill us with a single blow, would be to make fun of them. So I would say, I would assume that some of the guys that you were going after, not going after, but always in a fun way, are not going to be in the same room because I feel like that would be a terrifying thing to undergo.
No. Well, we pick someone like Butterbean because even though we're getting older, I think we can outrun him.
We could probably
outrun
the bean. And by the way, all these guys are awesome. I mean, they're amazing. So there is a healthy amount of love, and we've learned this from doing the roast battle on Comedy Central. You only roast the people that you love, the people that you respect, and the people who you believe can take it. And it's so fun. I mean, again, people have been clamoring for us to bring back this show, Cheap Seats, in some form or another. So the Nosebleeds is just, it's the perfect evolution of the show. We've gotten better in the last 15 years with our comedy, how we do it, how we figured out how this show works. And it's been a great collaborative effort. Our executive producer, Dave Nickel and Ollie Stokes, they're incredible. Dave worked on the Kevin Hart, Snoop Dogg Olympic stuff most recently. He comes from a comedy background of SNL and, you know, Craig Ferguson and Craig Kilborn. So there's like there's a late night feel to this whole thing. And again,
it's like a backdoor variety show.
Exactly.
And for UFC, this is their first like foray. It's a big swing for them to do a full on comedy. And it's just exciting. I think like it could be a cool new direction for these guys. Yeah.
So obviously one of your latest endeavors, you guys also do a lot of stuff. View from the Cheap Seats, the podcast, which you guys still do as well. I was told big college football guys. So I want to get your thoughts before we get you out of here. You know, we have a big push here where we have our college football betting guide that's out right now. And when you look at the consensus of the top of college football, doesn't seem like there's much competition for Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia when it comes to the masses. You guys agree with something like that?
And well, you just look at how they've been recruiting. I mean, go through the last like four recruiting classes and you say to yourself, it's who, like, imagine if the NFL, if like the, let's just say the Rams and the Raiders, just pick another team. And let's say Cincinnati, if between those three teams, they got the first 40 picks,
right?
That's essentially what it is. And so until you figure out a way to make that more egalitarian, you're good. And NIL was supposed to do that. So you might see in a couple years, you'll just see a team like Texas A&M sneak in and maybe have some,
or Miami might get good because they're offering so much money for players to come. So, I mean, look, we're Michigan guys. We went to Michigan, huge Michigan fans. The fact that they cracked into the college football playoff last year was amazing. I actually think that's great for football. You don't want to see the same teams every single year.
I think the top three, and then the distance between the top three and the next teams, which I would put Michigan, maybe Clemson,
Notre Dame.
We'll see what if UFC. We'll see if UFC gets there quickly.
USC.
Yeah, USC. I think that's the question is, can they close that gap between 1, 2, and 3 and the next 7 or 8 teams?
What's really interesting is the conference realignment, and what you're going to see is just a Northern West conference and like the Southeastern conference. That's essentially that's where we're heading, to 20 team conferences. And I mean, it's kind of crazy, but it's interesting how the landscape has changed so much. I think the ability to transfer without any repercussions, and you can start right away. You don't have to sit out a year. Plus NIL has changed college sports
forever
in such a huge way. It's the biggest change we've ever seen.
Well, you guys are Michigan guys, and we don't have enough time to dive into the fact that Harbaugh has offered to raise people's children and wants to put kids on the Big Ten payroll. But before we get you guys out of here, real quick again, let everybody know in the last 30 seconds what you guys got going on UFC and what we're going to see on YouTube tomorrow.
So you're going to see our new show. It's called The Nosebleeds. It's basically like a reboot of Cheap Seats on UFC's Fight, where it's available on UFC Fight Pass. Tomorrow, the first episode will be for free on UFC's YouTube page, their official YouTube page. So check it out. Tell your friends. Leave a nice comment. And there's more stuff to come. Thank you guys for having us.
Thank you guys.
Hey, good to talk to you. I've been a fan for a while, so it's cool to chop it up with you for a little bit. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Got it. Again, check that out. UFC 277 around the corner. Sklar Brothers got something new on UFC Fight Pass. It's going to be great. The Nosebleeds. Make sure you check that out. And make sure you stick around because Vinny Maiulo is coming up next. Welcome back in. It's a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I feel like I have to take like a little bit more of like a monotone here. Not monotone, just a little bit more relaxed because it is Friday and it's the end of the show. And from what I understand, as I filled in many times, we call this slow jamming with Vinny Maiulo. Is that what we do?
There we go. Now it's official. See, I know when I'm on now. That's the only reason for the so now I know that we're live when I hear the music.
I know I do this every time I fill in, but I will still contend that Vibin' with Vinny, I think, is a little bit of a better title.
JVT, there he is. See? Well, that maybe when I come on your show.
Yeah, there you go. I could totally steal the bit and just rename it. Yeah, that's really good.
So I'll have multiple themes, I guess.
Yep, there you go.
Hi, JVT. How are you, buddy?
What's going on, man? We haven't talked for a while. How you been? It's football season, man. So, we're back.
It is. It is, for all intents and purposes now. Obviously, you've got baseball and things, but still gearing up for football. We got the Hall of Fame game next week. Raiders, 2-point favorites here at South Point, and 33 for the total. And continue to add to the betting menu. In fact, today around noon, Chris Andrews, director here at South Point, we're going to release the regular season conference wins for the Power Five conferences, and we added Notre Dame and BYU.
Okay.
No, but obviously they're not in a conference, but they're a total regular season win. So continue to add to the football menu, JBT. And, you know, really one of the biggest changes in recent years is that expansion. I mean, for all intents and purposes, you know, when I got into this business, you know, we were down at Del Mar. Mm-hmm. My colleagues and I were just, you know, kind of chilling until that first week of exhibition, but
right.
Not the case anymore, and that's good. It stretches things out. It gives people an opportunity that are not going to be here for weeks one of college and pro to bet those games, but all the other propositions as well.
Well, I mean, at this point of the season too, with the new landscape of college football, the transfer portal settles down now. I mean, you still get some stragglers like UNLV the other day just landed the defensive line commit from Rutgers, but other than that, the big name transfers have found their homes, and
right.
you can settle out your ratings.
It's a great point that you bring up, JVT, and an important point because it's a challenge really for not for our side of the counter, but the better side of the counter as well. Like and now next year will be even more so.
Mm-hmm.
With the changing landscape of the conference compositions, right? So you've got now the NIL aspect, the transfer portal. You've always had coaching changes and things like that, but there's so many more dynamics in play now that come into, from our side, the pricing and certainly on the better side, the handicapping.
How much do you use the conference win totals that are available in other shops to gauge yours, or do you guys just go straight up with yours using any reference points?
No, you pay attention. I mean, you're aware of what's out there, but again, in our case here, what's different is that these are now, except for Notre Dame and BYU, which
right.
you know, but I personally, and I know Chris Andrews does the same thing. Before I look at any other numbers, I want to make my numbers, JBT. And then you're certainly aware of what's out there for this reason, right? So in the case of a season regular, let's look at the pros, right? If we're not first on them, and we weren't first on those this year, we did games of the year before anybody. And again, everybody does different things, which is great, great for the industry and great for bettors. But let's say we decide that a team is 8.5, right? Mm-hmm. But you see 9.5 out there. There's no reason to put up 8.5. You might put up 9, things
right.
like that. So, but in terms of creating the numbers, we create our own numbers first. Don't look at other numbers, and but obviously you're going to pay attention to what's out there as well.
So let's go noon today. Our time?
Noon today. College for the Power Five conferences and for conference wins.
Yeah, conference wins.
And then Notre Dame and BYU for total wins for the season.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot. So I'll ask you this, sticking along with the line of the vein of college football, because our mm-hmm. college football betting guide is out now.
Yep.
And the recurring theme now has been, if we're talking grand scheme of things,
mm-hmm.
Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, everybody else is playing for a spot in the playoff, and maybe that's it.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I think you go back to the transfer portal, right? So let's look at it, and which combines with say a coaching change, and I'll bring up a team that we'll talk about in a couple of veins here, USC,
mm-hmm.
right? So Lincoln Riley goes to SC, always a popular team here in town, and obviously in the West. Skill position transfers, significant skill position transfers. And when Chris Andrews and I were putting together the games of the year, we were really trying to gauge, gee, are they going to be faded, or are they going to be, you know, mm-hmm. strongly supported?
And can I just add, too, not even just skill position transfers, quarterback and head coach who work together in the same system coming over.
Great point. Now, they did not address really as strong. They still have offensive line question marks
and defense
yep, yep. right? I mean, you know, so is it going to be, you know, it kind of looks like, well, SC games, those totals are going to be pretty high, right?
Yep.
But when we looked at it and to our, we got our answer rather quickly. They got supported. They're getting support in the future book as well. But for instance, a game of the year, JVT, on November 19th, you know, big rivalry, right? USC versus UCLA. UCLA opened as a 5-point favorite. SC is a 3-point favorite now. Right. Now, these are not numbers that, you know, move in half-point increments. You're moving them a lot quicker. You're also paying very close attention. These are professional bettors right. Out there, too, that you have a lot of respect for, which is a great exercise. I mean, you want to know, at least I've always felt that way. I know Chris and Jimmy Vaccaro feel the same way. You know, and you know, for operators out there, you really want to know what professionals are thinking, you know, because they delve into it, you know, and they can specialize in it. You know, again, we put up a lot of things. You know, we put up every sport. You as a bettor, you know, JVT, you know this, especially your expertise in the NBA. You don't have to follow any. If you follow the NBA and you delve into it, that's your specialty. Mm-hmm. So, which is great. So I think it's these are good exercises. But SC has gotten a lot of support. Ohio State has gotten support. Alabama, Georgia, yeah, you know, can they repeat? Well, I don't know if they can repeat, but they certainly are in a position to get back to the playoff, right? Right. And again, yeah, who else is Texas A&M, Clemson, some support.
Texas?
Not as much as okay. We saw last year with Texas. I'll tell you another team that's gotten some LSU, believe yeah. it or not, from 60 down to 30, Kelly. But first year, I'm not so sure that's going to be the case. Miami from 100 down to 50.
That would be one of them, yep.
But SC is down to 10-1. But they weren't really high to begin with. I mean, right. They were only about 20 to begin with.
So when it comes to a team like USC, for example, when you're making win totals.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, we know they're going to be a popularly backed team by public bettors going to come in and bet, you know, they're going to bet over, they're going to bet to make it to the playoff, they're going to bet to win the playoff, whatever it is. How much do you use that in terms of altering your number? So, like, let's just say, as an example, you guys come up with, like, 8.9 wins. Mm-hmm. Will you go, all right, well, we're going to get bet on the over regardless. Let's hang it 9 shaded to the over or 9.5, whatever. Like, how much does that affect?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. You utilize the tools, which they are really tools. Like, we know they've gotten support in games of the year. We know they've gotten support in the future. But we did put up the conference prices as well this week. So if a team like that, if they are let's say you decide they're going to be 8. Well, maybe you use 8.5. You mm-hmm. know, and you know, so you have to use what you've already gotten, you know, and garnered in terms of wagering so far. And again, then we've had a couple of months with the regular season wins already, so we got our answer rather quickly. But it's a good point that you make. You're not going to just, you know, ignore what's already in front of you.
But it's for anybody out there listening too and watching. Like, if you're coming to bet into USC markets, for the most part, you're not getting really what you should be getting, because these are numbers that are shaded in a direction because there's a lot of support for them.
But you know, what you should be getting maybe on them, but is there something else? Is there another team, you know? And again, regional bias comes into play. There's no question about it. I mean, if you go to, you know, the Mississippi and you look at SEC schools, right? Well, you know that there's going to be that strong a market there. So, it's you're always going to have regional biases, but within those regional biases, are there other opportunities for you to take advantage of? We talk about this a lot, right? With golf, with the Masters, with Tiger Woods. You want Tiger Woods in the field, even if you're not. You don't want to bet on him.
Right.
Why? Because you're going to get a better price on other golfers there too, because you know that Tiger's going to get, even if it's sentimental support.
Yes, he will. Yes. All right. So Vinny's going to stick around, of course, for one more. We have a lot to get to. Kevin Durant, his potential landing spots, Hall of Fame game odds as well. You mentioned the number maybe ticking up in favor of the Raiders, and because he's here and Brian Ortega is running the ship, do not think that we'll get out of here without talking about how the Mets are calling the Angels about Shohei Ohtani and trying to pry him from the grasp of the Angels. And I have to say, take him! Just give us everything that you have. All right, we'll talk about that in a little bit more when we close out a numbers game. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into BetMGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with the BetMGM app or log on today. Get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Last couple of minutes here on A Numbers Game. Jonathan Von Tobel, that's me, filling in here on the program. Vinny Maiulo is alongside as well. Do we play the music again, or did we just do it once and we're good? Okay, just once. That's fine. I wanted to hear it again. All right, Vinny. So actually, we were talking about it off the air. I teased it, so let's just go into it. Yeah. We were talking baseball, and I was griping about the Angels and what they're doing.
Understandably so.
By the way, could you tell when I was ranting on the break that I haven't thought about this in any way whatsoever when it comes to them?
Only 24 hours a day. even when you're sleeping, it's there.
Well, and we always talk in baseball, as bettors, we always get wrapped up in the game, but when it comes to like the building of these franchises, specifically when it comes to baseball, when you have teams like the Angels, who are in big markets and are in top 10 in attendance and have the bankroll to spend and throw money at the problem like the Dodgers do, but refuse to do so, that's where it gets a little frustrating. And now you put yourself in this position where the team's a nightmare again. There's injuries there, which that's also another subplot. The injury history for the Angels over the last like seven, 8 years has been awful, but that's another thing. But you have Mike Trout, who's, frankly, his body's falling apart, which is very unfortunate for one of the best players we've seen in a really long time.
Generational player, for
They've done nothing to put position players around Ohtani. And now, more and more reports. Report a couple of days ago, the Mets have called about Shohei Ohtani. We get a report just yesterday, the New York Post, John Heyman, that teams have called about Ohtani and that they look like they want their top four prospects, which is a joke. You should ask for their top six, but that's fine. And the Mets are one of those teams, and it just goes back to, you should be in a position where Ohtani's willing to re-sign, loves to be there, competing for championships. Instead, they're pushing for 20 games under 500 and are a losing franchise yet again, and they're going to be on the verge of maybe having to ship them off in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that they don't spend money, JVT. It's the way they spend money. I mean, when you start giving out 10-year contracts to players that are, by the time they get halfway through that contract, past their prime and things, the free agents that they've signed have not panned out. It's also, aside from Trout and Ohtani, like, what are they developing?
Yep.
From within. It's puzzling. Now, can they start to rebuild this franchise by moving Ohtani? Yeah. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, you kind of look at them and say, you go to look at what the Astros did 8 years ago, and you really strip things down. And remember, we used to talk about the Astros at that time, saying, they're a Triple A team, and for all intents and purposes, they were. But what they did was retool. They drafted wisely, they developed players, and now, look at they're seriously. I right now, I think they're the team to beat in baseball.
I agree too.
Given what they've done to with the Yankees this year and things like that. So, but getting back to the Angels and Ohtani, and if the Mets get him now, there's a couple of players that the Mets have said within their farm system that are off limits. Well, if that's the case, then they're probably not going to get Ohtani. I think Moreno's also enamored with certain players, JVT, and this as an Angel fan, and I think Ohtani's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So does he let that cloud his thinking? I mean, it's difficult, but if the Mets get him, the Mets are anywhere from probably 7 to 10 to 1, depending on where. I think we're at 9 to 1 on the Mets. Mets get Ohtani. Boy, I'll tell you what, they're already in first place. I mean, they've got a lot of games to go with the Braves, but you'd have to adjust that price down to, if you're at 10, you probably go to 6 to 1. I mean, that puts them in a great position.
And it does sound like maybe this is not like prior to the trade deadline that it'll happen. It sounds like maybe it'd be more like next season, offseason type of deal for Ohtani to get moved.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if that's the case. But I will say, when he makes comments after the game, he's like, look, I'm an Angel. Like, it's not really great when it comes to his desire to stay there for the Angels. So we'll see how it pans out. But all right, so let's talk about more disgruntled superstars. Kevin Durant. Now, this has been pretty fascinating the way this has developed. Kevin Durant, as we know, at the beginning of July, says, you know what? I'm out of here. I don't want to be here anymore.
Right.
Request a trade from Brooklyn. Then there's the rapid adjustment by books everywhere. He wants the Suns. He wants the Heat. Suns vault to the top of the board because you want to get front run by a bunch of bettors.
Right.
But ultimately, as the dominoes have fallen, he's still a net. The Suns are pretty much out of it in terms of being able to trade for him. Mm-hmm. And it seems more and more likely in spots that offer markets like this, where will Kevin Durant play next? This is the interesting part. So the Celtics are listed right here at minus 150. Do we have – are the Nets listed at all on this on in this index prop? Because if the Celtics are minus 150, I will say this right now, I would take any plus price on the Brooklyn Nets to have Kevin Durant for next season.
Well, I think and again, I'm not sure who these prices are. There has to be
– looks like it's BetMGM, I think.
Either – every team listed or these five and a field, which would include the Nets, right? Because there has to be, you know, what if he goes to some other team? But we went as high, I want to say as like 40 or 50 on the Nets, but you can't because he's still there. It's 20. It's interesting to watch when reports, well, more like rumors come out. You know, we saw the Suns, all of a sudden they got played. Then it was the Heat, to your point. Then last week it was the Celtics, and we started, you know, getting some. Now, here's the thing from our side of the counter. You just can't make teams too high right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Durant is, I don't want to say he's holding the future book hostage, but in essence, his movement or where he goes or stays is going to have a significant impact because he's going to make a team, either a playoff contender, at the very least, you know, and cause, but personally, I think he's going to make him a title contender because I think he's going to go somewhere that's already got, you know, a good foundation, right? And I think that's what he wants. So the situation, if you look at the Nets, it's also about, okay, what about Kyrie? You know, okay, now if they both stay, they're still this disgruntled. They're a dysfunctional franchise right now. So you've got this disharmony going on. And, you know, just how effective can they be? I don't know. I don't think personally that the chemistry there is good. But you're going to see him go somewhere and the impact of where he goes. It's probably going to be a team with a strong core already.
Yeah.
They're gonna be one of the contenders for the title.
So Brian Ortega, our producer, tells me in my ear that the odds for him to stay with Brooklyn are plus 450. Run, don't walk, I would say. Because when you're talking about the probability of him staying there, it's much higher than that. And this is the brilliant part about things like this. You mentioned rumors, right?
Right.
We have now had, by my count, three or four teams that have been the odds-on favorite to land Kevin Durant this year.
Yeah,
right?
We talked about it. You had the Suns. You had the Heat. You had the Celtics last week. And now the Nets all of a sudden. Yeah, like, so again, from our side of the counter, you do some handicapping as well on our side, right? There are teams also that, in all likelihood, he's not going to, right? I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, he's not. I don't think he's going to San Antonio. I don't know nothing against San Antonio, but you have to read where he's not going as well and keep those prices higher. But you just can't make teams too high a price because he is going to be that impactful to the number.
All right, really quickly, since we only have about 90 seconds left with you, I do want to get this in. When's the action going to start to pick up in the Hall of Fame game next week? That's going to be heavily wagered on, right? People want football.
That'll be the number one bet game on the day of that game, JBT, the day and the day before. And it'll not only be the straight bets and the parlays within a game, but the cross sport parlay. So we actually opened the Raiders 2-point favorite. So you know, I think it opened 1.5, and I think there's still some 1.5s out there. But we use 2 and 33. People are clamoring for football. They're ready for football, and we've seen a significant increase in football. It's been a bit. It was trickling, you know, all spring, and you know when we started putting things up. And in the early part of the summer. But now the NBA Finals are over, the NHL, the Stanley Cup Finals are over. We've seen in the last couple of weeks a lot of interest in betting in football and those weeks. But the Hall of Fame game, that's going to be people are going to love to bet.
And I would assume standalone Raiders game, I would assume out here that's going to be quite the spike in handle.
I think we'll see one of the more heavily bet Hall of Fame games that we've seen. And again, the Raiders are going to have a lot to do with that, for sure.
All right, Vinny, it's good to talk to you. What else is going on over here? Anything you want to throw out there outside of the conference win totals that are up in college
again,
football?
Again, conference win totals today here at South Point around midday, right around noon, for the Power 5 conferences, and then total wins for Notre Dame and BYU. So we're looking forward to that.
Two things. College football betting guide is out. Make sure you check that out. A lot of good work went into that. The second thing is Anthony Rendon has played in 155 games in 2.5 years with the Anaheim Angels. Money well spent. Vinny Maiulo, good to talk to you. The numbers game is all done. I'll see you on the edge in a few hours.